spoke, the deep bellowing noise, wordless but full of meaning, a chant carried by a dozen voices. The sounds of drums and rattles and bone striking bone formed a fierce undercurrent to the wordless call. The worst of the wind's anger was deflected from the Tonka village by the circle of posts and hides, and the lodges, their curving roofs arching over a large interior space in defiance of the hardships of this land, were strong. Over the sound of deep and ancient ritual, the wind's cry could still be heard. The dancer, a shaman by the name of Kamiku, missed a step, and his hoof struck awkwardly. He recovered and continued. Focus. It was all about focus. It was how one harnessed the elements and wrung from them obedience. It was how his people survived in a land that was harsh and unforgiving. Sweat dampened and darkened his fur as he danced. His large brown eyes were closed in concentration, his hooves again finding their powerful rhythm. He tossed his head, short horns stabbing the air, tail twitching. Others danced beside him, their body heat and that of the fire, burning brightly despite the flakes and wind drifting down from the smoke hole in the roof, kept the lodge warm and comfortable. They all knew what was transpiring outside. They could not control these winds and snow as they could ordinary such things. No, this was his doing. But they could dance and feast and laugh in defiance of the onslaught. They were Tonka. They would endure. The world was blue and white and raging outside. But inside the great hall, the air was warm and still. A fireplace tall enough for a man to stand in was filled with thick logs, the crackling of their burning the only noise. Over the ornately decorated mantel, carved with images of fantastical creatures, the giant antler of a shovel tusk was mounted. Carved dragon heads served as sconces, holding torches with flames burning bright. Heavy beams supported the feast hall that could have housed dozens, the warm orange hue of the fires chasing away the shadows to hide on the corners. The cold stone of the floor was softened and warmed by thick pelts of polar bears, shovel tusk, and other creatures. A table, long and heavy and carved, occupied most of the space in the room. It could have hosted 3 dozen easily. Only 3 figures sat at the table now. A man, an orc, and a boy. None of it was real, of course. The man who sat at the place of honor at the table, slightly elevated before the other two in a mammoth carved chair that was not quite a throne, understood this. He was dreaming. He had been dreaming for a long, long time. The hall, the shovel tusk trophies, the fire, the table, the orc, and the boy, all were simply a part of his dreaming. The orc, on his left, was elderly, but still powerful. The orange fire and torchlight flickered off the ghastly image he bore on his heavy-jawed face, that of a skull painted on. He had been a shaman, able to direct and wield vast powers, and even now, even just as a figment of the man's imagination, he was intimidating. The boy was not. Once he might have been a handsome child, with wide sea-green eyes, fair features, and golden hair, but once was not now. The boy was sick. He was thin, so emaciated that his bones seemed to threaten to slice through the skin. The once bright eyes were dimmed and sunken, a thin film covering them. Pustules marked his skin, bursting and oozing forth a green fluid. Breathing seemed difficult, and the child's chest hitched in little panting gasps. The man thought he could almost see the labored thumping